Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
Well, as we go through the book of Colossians, we start out talking about, Paul's writing from Rome. Never has met the Colossians, but he knows about them, his heart's towards them. They're a church primarily Gentiles, and they're connected to Jesus and they're worshiping Jesus, but they don't know much about him yet. And he's basically helping them to be able to get more established because there's some threats around them, just kind of taking them away from the gospel. So we started by just talking about the gospel and how that it's not just the way we enter into this relationship with Jesus, it's how we continue. Then we talked about this whole thing of Jesus is everything and worth everything. We talked about just the deity of Jesus, the kind of amazing things of who Jesus is, and we just kind of took that in. And in what he did, and last week we talked about this thing about how we need to be rooted in Jesus in a way that we actually become established, and our roots go down, and it causes us to be able to be anchored, and we connect to all his riches through our being rooted to him, and it gives us this place to be able to withstand anything because we're rooted in Christ. And, what I love about Colossians is understanding that the very thing that he's talking specifically about is what he's actually experiencing himself. This place of understanding that he knows who he is in Jesus. He's rooted in Jesus. That is his identity. To the point that he's in Rome in prison with these terrible circumstances and life of God, and all this life of the Holy Spirit, and all the truth is coming out of him in his worst situations. And so when he's talking to the Ephesians, we sometimes think, well, what this Paul guy, he's pretty impressive, and we think, well, maybe he's just smarter than all of us. He just has studied so much, or we think, oh, he's more disciplined, he's more passionate. Now, he has all his characteristics, or maybe he's just, he works harder than the rest of us. He's just ahead of us, right? And the thing that we'd say about it, he has all lots of characteristics. I mean, he's very smart. He's very studied. He's very passionate. But if you ask him about that, he'd say, oh, that's rubbish. That's all rubbish. Compared to what? Knowing Christ and being in him. And so he would, when he's talking to the Colossians, he's not talking from this top-down position. He's saying, we are all in this together. Whenever Paul writes, we say, well, maybe he's superhuman. What Paul makes very clear is, I'm just as human as you are, and I go through the very same things you do, and this is something that's for all of us. And so, what is it that Paul gets that he's wanting to get across the Colossians? Well, in this passage, we're going to see what he wants them to understand. He wants to understand who they are in Christ. He wants them to understand that they no longer are they all living by their old nature. They have a brand new nature. And he's saying, you have to get this. Because this is where everything flows from, is this place of identity. So today we're going to be talking about living in your new identity. Do you realize how much identity determines how you live? It's huge, right? Who you believe you are will really completely impact everything that you do. As I think about that, I think about, just imagine, even in a human setting, think about this place of how someone who you respect, who has authority over you, how if you respect them and they have authority over you and they have all this power, and then they speak something positive about you. It's like you take that in and say, whoa, that was, why? Because we so much, this is the struggle. Who are we? What am I, right? When I thought about this, I've told these stories before, but I kept thinking, what were the points I thought about, like someone who was over me and spoke? And of course, my father was someone who loved me deeply. He was far from perfect. But many of you have heard the story of one party. He sent me to bed early. I was a grade schooler. And I loved the parties. My parents had everybody over. It was just a buzz. And I had to go to bed, so I was like bummed. So I snuck back down the stairs just to hear the party. They couldn't see me, and I was in the hallway. And my father was in the other room. And my dad began talking to the whole group about all my characteristics that he loved about me. Now, I'm sure there's other times I could have come down and heard some other stuff, but that was a good time. And I remember to this day, I can put myself back in that position, and it was like my identity was just, because he wasn't flattery. He knew me, but he spoke these things, and I thought, that's who I am, right? I remember another time I was with my parents camping, and I've always been curious because, I don't know if you guys have this kind of thing, you have certain memories that seem to stand out to you all the time. You kind of think about them, and you think, why do I always think about that one trip? You know, and I've made it a practice to say, God, Jesus, show me what was so good about that. If you're remembering it, it had an impact. If I'm this old as I am, and I'm thinking about when I was, you know, a little kid with my brother on a camping trip, and I remember we went to this one camping trip, and I thought, was it because we had to get to play? Was it because we got to have s'mores, or what was it, you know? And what I remember about that was the entire time my parents were just enjoying us. They were just enjoying us. And I thought, these people, these parents of mine love to be next to me and near me. And so, that's a small thing. That's an earthly human person. What about God of the universe who created everything? What happens when you get a hold of what he feels about you? How he sees you? That's pretty powerful. And what Corinthians, Paul does, he is always, whenever you read Paul's writings, it's never about, okay, shape up, use some more effort, you know, get it together. You know, it's always about this place of, you have to understand what it means to be in Christ. You have to understand what the gospel means for you. You have to understand what your true position is. That's what he's always going at. Even when he's correcting people, really straight out, like coming right in with a church that's having real problems with sin, you know what he always says? I mean, think about the Corinthians. What a mess that church was. Everybody's doing everything wrong, and he says, oh, what does he say in Corinthians? Oh, man, everybody who's in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Like, that wasn't what I'd say to the Corinthians, but Paul understands the reason the problem's happening in Corinthians is they don't know who they are. And they're getting sidetracked from what's important. And so what Paul is doing through Colossians, especially in this particular part, he's taking them back to the gospel. He's taking them back. This is who Jesus is. He's taking them back to saying, this is what you need to be rooted in, and you need to understand this is what this means. This is what has happened. You need to know your identity. So I'm going to have Bill come up and just read the passage for us. You can follow along on the screen, or if you have a device or a Bible, you can follow along as well.
Colossians 2:11 through 23. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh.
Thanks, Bill. A word you're going to see in throughout the Bible, but especially in the epistles, you're going to, throughout the New Testament and epistles, is this place of in Christ. Just, in fact, you get a bonus invitation. An invitation is to go to your Bible app and type in Christ or in Him and see what shows up. See how many times you see it. It is a lot. In fact, we see it in Colossians a lot as well, especially as he's establishing at the very beginning of Colossians. You know, last week we talked about we are to be people who have roots that go down deep, like the shepherd's tree, and we need to have to find the nourishment of God. We need to have roots that spread out and have many connecting to bring stability and to find the nourishment of God and to grow tall like the coastal redwoods. As we thought about those, is this place of what we have to realize is the reason we have that is because I was emphasizing last week that if when you have storms come, when you have drought come, you hold up, right? Now that's really a good analogy, that's important, but it's really important is making sure your roots go into the right things. Because we all try to get rooted in certain things, and if you have a root that goes down deep and roots in petroleum, it may not work too well, right? So the reality of it is, what Paul is saying here is not only have your roots go deep, but you have to make sure your roots are healthy and the system which is growing down and connecting into Jesus. In Paul's letters, you see this over and over, this place of Jesus. Sometimes it's like, could you say Jesus Christ enough times? It seems like it just... Paul just talks about Jesus and talks about Jesus and everything is about Jesus. And don't you hear Christians say, it's all about Jesus. And it is. You know, a story that's been overused in so many illustrations, but I'll do it one more time. Just like a bad dad joke. This is a good, deep, meaningful joke about this 11-year-old elementary class at Sunday school. You've probably all heard this, but it's still funny. And, the teacher is there with these boys, and she says, okay, kids, we're going to describe something and see if you can guess what it is. Once you raise your hand, when you know what it is, the boys are all waiting, they nodded eagerly. The thing that lives in the trees and eats nuts. No hands go up. It's gray. It has a long, bushy tail. The boys are looking at each other nervously, but no hands are raised. It jumps from branch to branch, and it chatters and flips its tail when it's excited. And finally, one of the boys tentatively raises his hand, and the teacher quickly calls on him and says, well, said the boy, says, it sure sounds a lot like a squirrel, but I know the right answer is Jesus, right? That's a good one. How many people have heard that before? Oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought. This is like, we can start going there like, come on, Paul, is it everything about Jesus? Yes, it is. Actually, even the way you look at nature is about Jesus. Everything starts with Jesus being central and what we're rooted in. It's the very thing that allows us to live, to see, to do what God has made us to do. Now, What we see here is Paul is basically really concerned because there's these people around the Colossians who are getting them disconnected with other things and saying, this is how you connect to God. And here's a good way to describe how Paul feels. Imagine you have your child who you know who they are, and you find that there's a powerful force of somebody pulling them aside and telling them that they are this, this, and this, is that's not who they are. What do you feel like as a mother or father? No, you, right? You say, no, no, no. That is not who they are, and you will do some crazy things, right? Paul feels this way when he's thinking about the Colossians. And so, you know, this place of being in Christ, it is, I just want you to keep your eyes open for this throughout all the scriptures, because we see it in Jesus to start with, that he's the vine, you know, that, and we're the branch. And what do? We're in him, and through him we produce fruit. I and you and you and me. All this conversation that Jesus has to his disciples is repeated over and over to the churches. And let's think about this is an example for the Corinthians. It says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Okay? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In other words, you're not the same person. We're not defined according to the flesh anymore. We look at even the way Colossians opens up. Remember the first verse of verse chapter 1? To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ, in Colossae. Even before we get to just what we've gone through so far, I've heard of your faith in Jesus and your love, and I've heard of your faith in Christ. It talks about, we teach everyone all wisdom to present them mature in Christ. Though I'm absent from you in the body, I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing, seeing all your good discipline and firmness of your faith in Christ. We haven't got to our text yet. I mean, this is just leading up. Like I talked about last week, therefore, as you received Jesus Christ, walk, guess what? In him. Right? Now, this is something I remember as a new Christian. I just would read that and think, what does that mean? And I'm still not sure if I fully grasp it, but I'm telling you, it's super important to grasp it as much as you can. Because what he says, right before we start our passage that Bill read, it says, see it to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of this world, not according to Christ. Right? And so as we go through this place, it is that, you know, we have to understand that these verses here that it's talking about, it's really helping them understand kind of what's important. And it starts out by talking about this place that you are circumcised without, circumcision was made without hands, putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Like, you know, it's always a hard illustration to circumcision. But in that mindset was in place as far as this place of flesh that was cut away so that you could be who you are. You were set apart and marked by that. But it's not circumcision physically. It's what God has done in us and caused us to be in Christ. It talks about, in Christ, you have been buried with him in baptism. And this whole thing we'll be doing in baptism, the sign is that I'm saying I have died with Christ for my sins and I was raised again in Christ. If Paul, I think if you put that in layman's term, it'd be circumcision is not important. What's important is a spiritual cutting away of the flesh that Jesus performs in our life of every believer. If you want a ceremony to mark the spiritual transformation of your life, look to baptism, not circumcision. And then it can summarize, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised. In other words, your flesh still ruled you, right? Sin still ruled you. But you were made alive together with him, having forgiven all your transgressions by canceling the record of debt that stood against us in its legal demands. Like, how are you justified from that? Because Jesus Christ took the just punishment. And that no longer defines me anymore. I'm a new creation by God's grace and by what Jesus has done. Now, so what Paul is wanting to understand is, don't allow anybody to define you in ways that aren't who you are. That is not who you are. And so he goes on to say in this place, you look at this place where it says, therefore, don't let no one pass judgment on you. And let no one disqualify you. And they're disqualifying you by this place of saying, no, that's not who you are. This is what you need to be. This is what you should be. This is what you should be. This is who you are. And they're saying, don't allow that to happen. Now, you understand, in Colossians, it's interesting because you can read a lot of scholars, and they jump around on what the threat was to the Colossians. And it was a lot of things. And that's what I think it really gets down to. And sometimes you'll see certain churches, maybe the Galatians, it was Judaizers who were trying to get them back to go to law, and that was their primary threat. And maybe in Ephesus, they were worshiping one deity, and they said, don't worship that deity. But when you get to Colossians, it's not that clear. It's mainly Gentiles, but it's really a city that's very mixed. It's something in which many different views were coming at one time towards them. And so there's this place in where people would beat their bodies and to show discipline and you know, cut off themselves from any pleasures and separate from anything on the earth. And then you have people who are you know, Gnostics, which, you know, agnostic, it's the opposite. Gnostic is the place of, I do have knowledge of God, but I have knowledge of secrets that's above everybody else. And they were proud, and they went on and on about all these particular things that only they knew. And then you had people who were Jewish who were saying, no, you need to follow these other things that are taking place. You need to follow the traditions and customs of the law, and that is what you need to do to connect to God. And he describes these places as elemental spirits of the world. Understanding that when Paul would talk about things, he understood that, you know, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. He's not mad. He understands these are maybe coming through people, but these are spiritual, deceptive spirits that are trying to steal them away from their connection to Jesus. And so he goes on to say, and here's, I think this is a great summary. He says, you know, these people, and describes them as not holding fast to the head, which is Jesus. To whom the whole body, and there's this why it's important to hold on to the head, to be connected to the head, which is Christ, because the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. Right? So here's the thing. You and I, in the U.S., are up against the same thing the Colossians are. Right? You know, we are in the same struggle. We have to understand that it may look different culturally in certain ways, but what's behind it is exactly the same. It may have different forms, but the intent of the spiritual elements of this world, the things that we struggle against, it's to separate us from the head. To not let us root in solely in Christ, but mix it in with other things. And it appears, here's the thing about it, it says, it appears wise and valuable. That's the way deception works. It doesn't like, it doesn't go, this seems terrible, I think I'll do it. No, it seems like that makes good sense. I kind of feel like I can understand how that makes sense. But then when you give yourself over to it, it doesn't help. It takes you from Jesus. You know, as followers of Jesus, maybe this is obvious, but your number one desire needs to be to grow spiritually. Not in some kind of like I should, because you understand you're an eternal being. We're actually just living in this body, which is deteriorating. I can say amen to that. My body is deteriorating, and it won't last long. It's just a tent. But who I am continues on. It's eternal. That I'm part of this kingdom of God. I'm connected to Jesus, and that's my life. My home is not here. And so whatever I do with my time on earth, it needs to be for that as its primary focus and why I'm here. You know, so I can know that my life is not about all this other stuff. It's about loving God and loving people. And that's the fruit that starts coming out. That's why I'm here. Now, you know, if you made a list of some of the things that were probably happening around them in with the Colossians, would be probably one of the big things, which I would say, and quite honestly, I could make a list like 20 of these things. There's a lot of isms out there, you know that? Always be cautious of isms, right? And even if it's a fairly good ism, it can often get to a place that it's put in a place that is really distorts what's important. But there's, I think, quite honestly, to me, the largest thing that you see that is always the place that tries to take us to the place of not living out who we're made to be is idolatry. Now, we don't bow down to statues, maybe, but idolatry is simply putting it above God and turning to that instead of God. It can be, you know, your drug of choice. It can be, you can idolize sexuality. You can idolize money and things. You can idolize power. You can idolize your career. You can idolize church. There's lots of things that could even be good, but anything that is raised above God and you turn to for your source is always takes you and disconnects you from what you're designed to be. All right? And I would say the other ones below that kind of just fall into particular camps, that things that became the place that they how they try to pursue God and worship God. And one is paganism, is just simply believing that the earth has the power and we worship the earth. I'm all about environmentalism, don't get me wrong. I'm all about stewardship of the earth. But earth is not my mother and my God, right? I know that term's fine. I'm just saying is we have to understand that is not going to be what brings us life. Paganism. Gnosticism. Now this will look many different ways, but it may not even be titled this in some ways, but it's this place that someone has this inside track on God that they're going to talk to you about. Now this can be in the churches too. I have this new book, this seminar. This is The Secret of Prayer. You have to kind of watch this stuff in places that they begin thinking, I have this formula, this plan. I have this above knowledge. And whenever you see someone who's kind of elevating themselves in places of all their grandeur, the amazing things God's doing in their life, you say, no. That's Gnostic. It's not, you know, it's not humans with the grace of God. And I would say probably the one that defines Colossians, but I think defines our God of this age that we're around right now, is pluralism. I mean, this is nothing new, right? You can go to anybody about anywhere in your neighborhood, and they will define pluralism by asking them what you think about God. And they'll basically say, well, you know, all things lead to the same path. I'm tired of the fighting among this and this. This is and truth, objective truth, is just diminished, right? So that's just normal. I mean, that's everywhere, right? But as Christians, sometimes within even our churches, legalism can still become a pretty big deal. Now, we may not say we're going back to law and circumcision and Sabbaths and all that. Maybe that's part of it. But it's this place of believing, this place that you find your salvation, you find your justification, you earn your place with God. You know, and it comes from your human effort. And what we see is these are all the things that are holding, these saying, don't let these hold you captive. They're stealing from your freedom. Now, these, it goes up a little click. These two verses is what I want to close with. These two verses, I think, really capture what Paul's getting at. Because what we see at the very beginning is all these ways of, especially this place of, I am going to fight and be a better person. I am going to whip my flesh. I have this sinful desire and I am going to do better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. You know, right? That's the flesh. And he says, you know, it has no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Your will, your determination, your power will not stop you from indulging in the flesh. And then the second part of it says, I just take out the word not and make it a positive. What we want to do is holding fast the head, from whom the whole body is nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments grows with a growth that is from God. Again, be who you are. You've been made a new creation. You have died to the flesh. The flesh no longer has power over you. You can say no to sin. You actually can. Sometimes we don't all the time, but we can say no to sin. Every time. And we don't, we experience grace. And we learn again. But you have to understand, what Paul's talking about, here's why he wants you to live in your true identity, which is in Christ. Because he wants you to be free from these things. He wants you to be free from condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. He wants you to be free from shame. He doesn't want you to ever have to hide your sin again because you know that God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and you are able to always be clean before him. That it actually honors him as we keep our lives open, even in our struggle. When you're in Christ, you start seeing the world differently with different eyes because you're seeing it through the eyes of Christ. Again, you have power to say no to sin. You no longer are a slave to the sin who enslaved you. You're able then, not only that, you're able because Christ, you are in Christ, you now can actually have Christ come through you just the way you are. You can bring his presence. You can bring his power. You can bring his truth. You can bring his love. You can live in Christ. When you live in Christ, you no longer fear death. You actually no longer fear storms or suffering or drought or dryness because nothing can separate me because I'm in Christ, from the love of Christ. And when you're in Christ, you have this freedom because you're doing what you're made to do, what God's designed you to do. and you have this hope for the future. You know, as I said last week, so much of what I think about these days is how we're going to hold up as a church in America. We have it really cushy a lot of ways. And we get shaken a little bit, and it's just, what's going to hold us up? It's not going to be laws, rules, regulations, determination. What's going to hold us up is that we're in Christ, that we're living according to this new identity that doesn't start after we die, but starts now, and we live it out in our everyday life. Where heaven is our home, this isn't our home. But we live here and get to have the joy of experiencing Jesus with us in all of our life. So here's my, the worship team can come up, here's my invitation this time. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you anything that you are trusting in that has the appearance of wisdom but is hindering you from living in your new identity. Just ask Him. And then just say, God, help me with that. Help me see who you've made me to be. Help me hear from you who I am. And the second is moving others towards Jesus. When you come across someone, this is a good test here. When you come across someone this week, it could be today, right after the service, someone that you don't necessarily, you have a little love for, right? Ask Jesus at that point, you're recognizing, my flesh has little love for this person, but God, I'm in you. How do we see this through this? How do you see this person? And let Him show you how you see that person, and then love Him the way, and let God's love come through you to that person. All right? So once you stand, and I want to just give a quick prayer over you, and then we'll move right into worship. Lord, I just know this is just, I'm so glad of what you've done for us. This is such an amazing message that we are new creations, that we actually raise with you from the dead. As hard as that is for our minds to get around, that we actually are in you, we are connected to you, and we are able to enjoy the riches that come from that. And so, God, as we worship, let us just be grateful for this. Amen.